This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Two rounds down, three to go in the Louisiana High School football playoffs. It's quarterfinal week, and a number of teams getting the chance to play Thanksgiving football. Only a handful of them will advance to the semifinals, and a few of those will go on to the Superdome in a couple weeks' time. This is the Pelican State Prep Football Preview Quarterfinals Edition. I'm Ian Ozan. Happy you are here with us again this week. And we start in the New Orleans metro area. Coach Lou Valden from the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup joins us. And, Coach, the Catholic League did extremely well in their games this week. A couple teams going on the road to the Lafayette area and getting victories. You look at John Curtis. They beat an Acadiana team that was tough as nails. Etna Carr, they get a big win at home. They'll host St. Thomas More this week. Archbishop Rummel taking care of business at home. They're at Catholic of Baton Rouge this week. So three Catholic League teams still in the playoffs and still a chance two Catholic League teams could meet in the state championship. That is if Curtis and Carr can run the table.
And that's a possibility. That's definitely a possibility. But one game I'm really curious to see is Newman and Catholic New Iberia. Because this will be the best team Newman's played in a long time this season. You know, they played a couple of tough teams. Then they had the two bye weeks. Then they had a weak district. They kind of took care of business last week in the playoffs. So, and this team, Catholic New Iberia, they've knocked Newman out a couple of years in a row. Now, that was when Indest was the coach. But, you know, they're still really good.
They certainly are. And for Isidore Newman and Coach Nelson over there, Coach Nelson Stewart, this is a team that's been close so many times. They just haven't been able to get over the hump. Is this the year they can get over that hump, get to the semifinals to play for a shot at the Dome against Dunham next week?
Yeah, because they got a good football team. You know, I remember I spoke to Nelson earlier in the year, and when Newman's been really good, they've had good linemen on both sides of the ball. And I think, you know, Nelson said that his line's much improved. Eli Friend is really good quarterback. I think they got a shot.
We may have been a bit presumptuous saying that if Newman wins, they would play Dunham. Dunham takes on a Lafayette Christian team this week that upset Notre Dame on Friday night. That'll be a 1-9 matchup in Baton Rouge. We'll take a look at that game a little bit later on in the show today. Going back to the larger divisions, in Division I non-select, Chalmette in the quarterfinals for the first time since the late 1960s. The 101 Chalmatians will take on Neville in Monroe this week, a tough test for Chalmette as they play arguably the toughest public school team in the state of Louisiana.
Absolutely. And the coach of the Chalmette team in 1968 was Bobby Nuss, the guy the stadium's named after. So that's how long it's been since Chalmette has made it to Thanksgiving week. But that's the big story is Thanksgiving week. How do you handle the week off of school? Do you practice in the mornings? Do you bring them? You know, some coaches would practice. I would practice in the mornings because I wanted the kids to enjoy their Thanksgiving holiday. But a lot of coaches would bring them in at the after school time so the routine stays the same. When I was at Jesuit, we had school that week because they had a big Thanksgiving food basket that they delivered on Wednesdays. So we always played great. Week three in the playoffs. But how do they handle this week without school?
And that's the million-dollar question. It's also the same question that Destrehan has to answer as they go up to Shreveport to play Airline in a 10-2 matchup in D1 non-select.
Yeah, I would think if they have a betting line on that, I'd take the over.
Yeah, Airline's been prone to put up 50, 60 points a game this year.
Yeah, and Destrehan's really good on offense. You know, they have four. they got four studs at receiver, four guys that can go. And so you can't double cover any of them. And you got to sit back in zone, and they have a good running back. So Destrian's going to put up some points too. So I would bet the over. This is going to be a shootout.
In Division II, select John F. Kennedy at Archbishop Shaw, 8-1 matchup. Shaw's been good all season long. JFK, though, they've kind of flown under the radar. Do you think they'll put up a big fight against Shaw, or does Shaw run away with this one like they have the first 2 weeks of the playoffs?
They're concerned about what Kennedy does on defense. Talking to Hank and talking to Mike Biamonte, the offensive line coach, they had a hard time blocking Kennedy last year. Kennedy will man up on Shaw, and they're going to send the house. So Shaw's going to have to be able to pick up the blitz, and if they dare Shaw to throw, they're going to have to throw in complete passes. Now, they have the Washington kid. They have the Richard kid. But if Shaw's able to run the ball, and they're peaking at the right time, they're healthy, and they're really playing good, and they're playing much better on defense. If they can run the ball on Kennedy, then it'll be a long night for JFK.
Booker T. Washington of New Orleans has to travel to Western Louisiana to play Leesville. We know what the Wapakoneta can do because the last few years they're consistently in the quarterfinals. Booker T. Washington, though, is a team that even in the city of New Orleans, they don't get as much attention as some of the other squads. So what does Booker T. Washington bring to the table that Leesville is going to have to battle, going to have to contend with to win this game?
Speed, athletes, good coaching. Reese is the coach. His daddy was a coach for a long time. They have so the good coaching, and they're gonna bring a lot of athletes down there, the Lions. Now, the difference in the game could be the kicking game. I don't know if Leesville. Whoever wins the kicking game ought to win that football game.
In D2 non-select, Lakeshore Franklinton. This may be the best game in the New Orleans area, North Shore, South Shore, this week. Brennan Dest is wing T offense against Lakeshore, playing the number one seed in Franklinton. What do you expect from this one?
Well, I expect a good game. A low-scoring game. The one thing is, with the wing T, is that Salt knows the wing T. You know, he's an old coach like me, an old school coach that's coached against the wing T. He coached at Holy Cross where they ran the wing T. So he knows it. So I'm sure he'll have a plan for stop now. You have to get ready in a week with no school, in a weird week, with no school to get ready for an offense you haven't seen in a long time. But and all Indes has to do is just be able to control, run the football, and have ball security.
Moving on to D3 non-select, Pine, another team that flew under the radar this year in the regular season on the North Shore. They get number one St. James. That'll be a huge match. D4 select, Kentwood, under the tank. They host Southern Lab this week. That's another big one that we'll be paying attention to. And in D4 non-select, South Plaquemine, down the bayou, down the river, I should say, they host number seven Mangum. So of those three games, which one do you expect to be the best one?
If I'm a college coach and I'm in town, I'm going under the tank in Kentwood, because you'll find buku players there between those two teams. The Kangaroos and the Kittens, they're going to have those are traditional powers with traditional great talent. There's going to be a lot of speed on that field. That's going to be a great atmosphere.
And it's a shame that it's not going to be in the Superdome, but under the tank. I don't know if you can find a better atmosphere than that, one of the better venues in the state of Louisiana. He is Coach Lou.
The Kangaroos might be in pretty good shape.
He is Coach Lou Valden from the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Coach Lou, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the semis. Have a happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
You too, Ian. Thank you.
from the New Orleans area to the Acadiana area. Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate joins us. And Kevin, we have to give District 448 credit where credit's due. The Lafayette area schools doing fantastic against members of the Catholic League. St. Thomas More with a victory over San Augustine. They get the job done to move to the quarterfinals. Turlings with a victory over Jesuit to move on to the quarterfinals. This week, Turlings gets another Catholic League squad in John Curtis. STM also playing a member of District 9-4A in Edna Carr. So second verse, same as the first. We know what Turlings brings to the table. They're going to play a run-heavy John Curtis squad. Edna Carr, though, may be the most potent offense St. Thomas More has played this year. How do you expect these two games to go?
Well, I don't know. You know, I covered the Turlings Jesuit game. It was a very good game. You know, Turlings just kind of ironic because Jesuit was the big physical team, but it was more like Turlings ended up subduing them. It was kind of a strange contest, and quarterback Alex Munoz did a great job, and Turlings did enough to win that game. You know, obviously we know STM won at the very end. They did a good job. They forced two turnovers on downs inside the five, and then they won on a missed extra point. And, you know, this is probably STM's least explosive team in at least 5 years, maybe a little longer than that. And obviously they're playing against a very explosive Carr team. So, you know, on paper, you know, Carr would have the advantage of that. I don't know what to think of the John Curtis Turlings matchup because, you know, we talked about last week, it was not a good matchup for Acadiana because normally they have a big advantage playing Veer teams, and they played one. Acadiana has, you know, their district is not very good, and they have a lot of blowout wins down the stretch and played a real game in a long, long time. And then, you know, they didn't play in the first round. So Turlings is on the opposite deal. You know, their district is not as tough as we expected it, but it was still pretty tough. They played some tough games down the stretch, and then they played a tough one last week. So that looks pretty even to me, and it's just a matter of, the scary thing for Turlings is they had to play a linebacker at running back in the last two drives to run out the clock, and they need some healthy backs, so we'll see how healthy they are on Friday.
John Curtis with a victory over 5A Acadiana in Scott this past week to advance to the quarterfinals. They've already beaten one Lafayette area team, looking to do it again when they go to Rebel Stadium on Friday night. In Division I non-select, Southside advances, but they'll face their toughest test of the year, maybe the toughest test in the history of the school when they play Ruston this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a huge trip, an opportunity for the Sharks. You know, they play two teams from Livingston Parish, and they obviously were way better than both teams. And you know, this is going to be a whole different challenge playing Ruston. And so, you know, it's a long way from home. Ruston beat Acadiana earlier this year, so I'm sure that will get Southside team's attention. And so, you know, again, they're pretty big underdogs. But what they do is they have the ability to run. They play pretty good defense. They have the ability to run the ball and have long, sustained drives. And sometimes if you're not getting turnovers, that's the way that you can upset a team. So we'll see what they can do.
Moving on to Division II non-select, Opelousas, a double-digit seed again this year, continues to defy the odds. Last year's a 12 seed, won the state title. They're a 14 seed this year. They're in the quarterfinals for the second consecutive year. This is the first or second time in school history where that's happened. It's the second time. The last time it happened was almost 70 years ago. They play Plaquemine this week. Cecilia, number 18 seed. Last year, they were the 2 seed. They reached the state finals. They go up the number 7 North DeSoto this week. Opelousas North Plaquemine is going to be a more even matchup than what these seedings would lead you to believe. Cecilia North DeSoto is another matchup that might be closer than what the seedings would tell you, but North DeSoto is going to give Cecilia a much tougher challenge than what Lutcher did this week, I think.
Yeah, I think most people around the state realize that Opelousas and Cecilia seed are not indicative of the threat that they are. I mean, you know, you could argue those are the two most talented teams in the whole bracket. And just because they have, double-digit seeds written by them doesn't necessarily mean anything. Most of the time it kind of does, but in this matchup it doesn't. Cecilia, Diesel Solari, he's healthier than he's ever been. all year long. And they beat a good Lutcher team on the road because they're just so hard to get off the field. They're just so talented on offense. So I kind of expect both teams to win, to tell you the truth. I expect Opelousas to advance, and I kind of think Cecilia will as well. I just think, though, for whatever reason, their schedules didn't match up with the power rankings, but I think they match up with just about any team they play.
And if both Cecilia and Opelousas win, the Tigers would host the Bulldogs in a rematch of last year's state title game in the semifinals, that game at Donald Gardner Stadium in Opelousas, where Opelousas beat Cecilia during the district schedule a few weeks back. In Division III Select, Lafayette Christian Academy at number 1, Dunham. Number 7, Catholic New Iberia. At number 2, Isidore Newman. Any chance that the two Acadiana area teams knock off the top two seeds in this division?
Well, obviously, it's going to be tough. I was not surprised that Lafayette Christian won the rematch with Notre Dame. For one, I always think the team that loses, if it's an even matchup, the team that loses the first game, I always kind of feel like they have an advantage in the rematch. Plus, you know, LCA was further removed from getting rid of, you know, the coach moving on from the coach and having a coaching transition. So they're more ready for that now than they were then. And they are enormously talented. And LCA's, you know, kind of a scary lower seed in that, yeah, there's, you know, it's kind of like John Curtis. Yeah, they haven't won as many games as they have, but they kind of know how to, you know, they're used to playing really good teams with a lot on the line. So, you know, I think LCA is a scary. If I'm a one seed, I don't know if I want to face them, but, you know, we'll see what they can do. That, you know, they can run it and they can throw it. And so we'll see if how their defense responds to all that. You know, Catholic High's really explosive. I looked at their scores and Newman scores. Neither one of them played very many competitive games all year. You know, they beat St. Charles 2 touchdowns the first game of the year, and they beat Plaquemine by a few points. Other than a loss to VC in the opener, Catholic didn't play a single-digit game the rest of the season. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. They're very explosive. Their quarterback Luke Landry only has one interception, and he's thrown for a ton of yards, well over 2,000 yards. So I think that's going to be a fun matchup with lots of action.
We've got four games left in the Acadiana area with about a minute to go, so I'll lump them all here. Division 3 non-select, number 15, Lorville is at number 7, Gina. In Division 4 select, St. Ed's, who hung 70-some-odd points on St. Martin's Episcopal Friday night, will be at number 1, Vermilion Catholic. Division 4 non-select, number 9, Welsh at number 1, Hainesville. Number 19, Franklin at number 6, Logansport. So the question for you, Kevin, is, of these four games, which one do you think has the best chance of an upset special happening?
I don't know. St. Ed's had an unbelievable performance. They had a quarterback, Kane West. He had 8 2-point conversions, ran for 5, and threw for 2. 15 scoring plays in one game. I've never seen that ever in high school football. But they're playing a VC team that just doesn't hardly ever lose. So I don't think it will be VC. It might have to go with Lorville right now. They started out, we've been talking about it for a month now. Lorville started out 0-4, but they're really playing well right now. Might have to go with Lorville in that group.
He is Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate joining us to preview the quarterfinal matchups involving the Lafayette area teams this week. Kevin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the semifinals.
All righty. Take care, sir.
And from the Acadiana area, we move on now to Southwest Louisiana and the Lake Charles region. Chasten Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joins us. And Chasten, Lake Charles College Prep, they were one of the teams that we thought might have a chance to go on a decent run, but they got bounced in the last round. Now for your part of the state, Welsh may be the favorite, though they take on a tough Hainesville team this week in the D4 non-select quarters.
Yeah, look, there was a couple of teams that got upset this past week that I thought could have potential to make a little bit of a run. Obviously, you look at Lake Charles College Prep, them and that matchup, their second round matchup. Just so many points back and forth they went. Finally, they were able to put Lake Charles College Prep away. Kind of late there in that one. Look, there's a couple of intriguing matchups here in the area. Obviously, Booker T. Washington's going to be going to Leesville. Leesville, I think, with a little bit of an easier path to the semifinals now that. Booker T. Washington got the bye after their first round win. They get the bye because of the whole University High thing. So Leesville's going to be hosting Booker T. Washington as the 7 seed, and you know, with a trip to the semifinals on the line. Welsh will be at Hainesville. That's an interesting matchup. Look, Welsh is still a little banged up. I don't know how long that one will kind of be a game. But you know, who knows? You know, Welsh was able to make a good run with Logansport last year there in the quarterfinals. Then you have Union Parish and Kinder. Look, we were in Kinder last week. Isaiah Thomas, Logan LaBeouf, they've got guys all over the field on the offensive side of the ball. But they were impressive defensively. They were really able to stop what Westlake likes to do offensively, and defense was pretty darn impressive. That has the potential to be a ton of fun in a 5-4 matchup. I think Union Parish, they're a lot, and it's going to be a tall task for Kinder, even though they're at home. The game we're doing this week, we're going with Iowa. We're taking the 3-hour trip for us up to Franklin Parish. It's the first quarterfinal appearance ever for Franklin Parish. So a dream season, nevertheless. And look, Iowa's a little banged up, as I think everybody is this time of year. And look, offensively, they're pretty darn good. Look, again, we've talked about it throughout the year. They haven't lost to a team inside of the state of Louisiana yet. You know, they're still undefeated against Louisiana teams. Obviously, they've taken on two Texas teams and, you know, losing one of those. But I think Iowa has a lot of potential to go into Franklin Parish and see if they can get a win.
I want to go back to that Kinder Union Parish matchup. You said it was a tall task for Kinder, and that's both literal and figurative. Union Parish may be the biggest team in terms of its line, both offensive and defensive lines. You got kids who are standing 6'6 and above, weighing close to 300 pounds, if not more than that. What is Kinder going to have to do to be able to overcome that size disadvantage to get the win?
Yeah, look, it's going to be tough. Obviously, with their road, they obviously got the bye there in the first round. Westlake, obviously, a step above with the divisions. You know, Kinder, the 2A team, Westlake playing, Westlake, a 3A team. So they've already had to kind of play up. So Westlake, you know, with but you're right. The size issue is going to be a thing. Union Parish, obviously, they're bred differently, are the farmers, you know. I said from the get-go that this one's going to be a tough matchup. I think offensively, you know, Isaiah Thomas can, you know, he can make any throw on the field. The sophomore quarterback is pretty darn impressive. You know, he can do it with his legs, and but he can really, he's really got an absolute cannon on him. I think him and his receivers are going to have a big day, and defensively they're going to have to find a way to clamp down and find enough stops to, you know, keep their offense in it.
For Leesville and for Iowa, what are the keys to their victories as Leesville takes on Booker T. Washington and Iowa takes on Franklin Parish?
Again, for Leesville, they got to get the upper hand here. You know, even though when you get to the quarterfinals, obviously everybody good. I think this is the lone, you know, issue there, because obviously Booker T. Washington, they get the upset there in the first round. You know, they would have taken on U-High, the 2 seed, in the second round. U-High gets the bye, so now, or, you know, rather, Booker T. Washington gets the bye with U-High getting eliminated, you know, with getting squashed with the whole ineligible player thing. So, you know, Leesville, I would say, is going to get a little bit easier path there to the semifinals. We'll see. I mean, you still have to show up. I mean, we could say that it's an easier path, but I'm sure Booker T. Washington is going to hang that up on their poster board. But, look, I would say Leesville gets the easier path. They should get to the semis. And then Iowa, look, it's a tall task. Again, Iowa, a little bit banged up on the offensive line. I think they've got 3 starters out now on the offensive line. They're going to have to deal with the quarterback from Franklin Parish, who is an absolute load. I'm sure the place is going to be absolutely rowdy. I know last year Iowa made it to the quarters. They went to North DeSoto. They brought one heck of a crowd with the fan buses and all that stuff. I expect it to be no difference. I'm sure the atmosphere is going to be pretty rowdy. Iowa been in the quarterfinals, I believe this is 4 years in a row now. Franklin Parish, just their first quarterfinal appearance. So I'll be curious how that kind of affects Franklin Parish.
Jason Tavares from 92.9 The Lake joining us to give us the lay of the land of the 4 teams from the Southwest Louisiana region still in the playoffs. Chasten, happy Thanksgiving, my friend. We'll talk to you next week for the semis.
Yep, enjoy your turkey day. Enjoy some Black Friday football.
Certainly will. We'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep football preview after this. We'll go to North Louisiana. Stay with us.
Hey,
It's the quarterfinal round of the playoffs, and the Pelican State Prep Football preview for the quarterfinal round continues. I'm Ian Ozan. We now turn our attention to North Louisiana. We start in the central portion of the state. Alexandria, Lamar Gafford from SinlawPreps.com joins us. And Lamar, looks like Alexandria and Gina are the central portion of the state's last two hopes for a state championship. Let's start with Alexandria. They get a district rival in Burt this week. We know these two teams can put up a lot of points on the board. Million-dollar question is, who's defense will be the one to stand tall at the end of the game?
And that's going to be really a good thing here. You know, of course, this should be a pretty decent matchup here between both of these teams. I mean, Ash came coming away, put up 49 points facing against Evangel, really shut down that offense that they had over there and everything. And that kind of continues to let people know here that their defense is for real. And Bird, you know, even though I haven't really got a chance to see them up close and personal, I am an alum there. So, of course, I get a chance to look at them every now and then on the videotape they have on Facebook. And they've always had a very good defense. They know what they are. They're going to be a good running team no matter what happens here. Kind of a revenge game from what happened 2 years ago where Ash went up to Shreveport, lost to Bird in a tough fashion there, where I think Lake Lambert is still rushing for a lot of touchdowns there in that game. But then you have now a much better Ash team where I think the roles have kind of reversed, where Ash is now the more experienced team in this one here, and then you got Bird coming in here as a very good scrappy team here coming up and trying to get the win. So I think that's going to be a very good one.
The other game involving a Central Louisiana team this week, D3 non-select, number 15 Lauraville at number 7 Gina. Normally, I would say Gina would win this and win this easily, but Lauraville this year has been a scrappy team, and that number 15 seeding does not fit them at all. This Lauraville squad can beat you in several different ways. They can beat you offensively, they can beat you defensively, and they have a special teams unit that can get the job done as well. If Gina's not careful, they may be the next upset victim for Lauraville. With that in mind, what does Gina have to do to make sure they don't become Lauraville's next victim?
Continue to play well, continue to run the football with great zest and everything, and just pretty much that's what they need to do. I mean, just continue to do everything that what's got them there. Over these last couple of weeks here, Coach Rourke has continued to say every single time after that Tioga game here, they've started to practice better. They had to get back to doing the basics, and they had to get back to playing their brand of football, their style of football, which, you know, running the football very well, playing sound defense, and not making mistakes. And I think that's the one, those are the few things here that's really helped them out over these last couple of weeks here. And, you know, you look at the bracket here, it has kind of opened up for them a little bit more here now. But like you said, you got to face against a Lauraville team here where over the last couple of years here, they've really gotten very, very good in football and everything else like that. So all they got to do is just limit the mistakes against them and just keep things rolling there.
They did that last Friday night against Port Allen. 56-20 victory for Gina in that game. What did you see in that performance that if Gina is able to keep doing, they'll be able to make a run?
Still running the football. Basically, those are the few things there. They jumped out to a great start. That's another thing that kind of really impressed me in that one. And I think the last 2 weeks here, they definitely have ran the football very, very well. I mean, when they played against Caldwell in a rematch of their Week 9 game, that was a very good game where they were able to get out ahead with the running game and still continue to do well with that. And I think with Gina here, they definitely done a great job. Their two running backs, Cedric Wilson and Daniel Hatcher, you know, they both combined for over 300, and they had 316 yards and 6 touchdowns. So if they can just continue to get the same amount of input from those two guys, they should be pretty well. They should continue to play pretty well in this case.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Bunky. They're still in the playoffs as well, and it's for those of us here in the New Orleans area, it's easy to forget about Bunky because they're in Central Louisiana. They're in Avoyelles Parish. We don't hear much about them, but they are a 5 seed, and they're playing Jewel Sumner in a 4-5 matchup in D3 Select. So for Bunky, what do they need to do to pull off the victory over Jewel Sumner, a Jewel Sumner team that caught a lot of people by surprise this year with how good they were?
Yeah, I mean, getting a chance to see them last week against A-Meet, that was a very good experience here. Bunky just really, they jumped out ahead early, you know, of course, having their offense going out there. And, of course, you know, passing the football and, of course, and also having matching speed for speed also with A-Meet. I think they could just got to do the same thing against Jules Sumner. I mean, Sumner played A-Meet very close in Week 10 earlier this year, where Sumner was able to win that ball game. Now, if Bunky can just continue to do everything that they did right against A-Meet, I think they should be all right. They played mistake-free football where, you know, the outcome really wasn't too much in doubt until it got to be to the later part of the ball game where it looked like A-Meet was going to creep back into the ball game. But, you know, Bunky was able to shut it down. So if they can just continue to do it, they should be all right. But this program, this team, they're hungry. They're ready for it. Getting the chance to see them at the Grove, their little tailgating area last week, they were excited about it. I think they're probably still partying out there. Who knows or anything. And can you imagine if they get an opportunity to probably host the semifinal game? That would probably be amazing there. But they got to get through this one first here. And Sumner is also a very good team here. So this is going to be a good matchup.
And Leesville out in Vernon Parish on the edge of your coverage area. We talked about them with Chasten Tavares a little bit earlier. They take on Booker T. Washington of New Orleans. You've had a chance to see the Wampus Cats in action this year. What are the keys to victory to stopping a very quick Booker T. Washington squad and advancing to the semifinals?
Just continue to run the football with Xavier Ford. That's the number one thing here. And that he's been amazing so far this season, rushing for about well over 2,500 yards. If he hasn't gotten to 3,000 yards yet, then I know he's very, very close to doing that. And also the touchdowns he's gotten, about 35 touchdowns this season. They know their bread and butter. They know that they have to really pound against this team, against Booker T. Washington. This is a scrappy – Booker T. Washington was a scrappy team. When I got a chance to see them against Buckeye, they were a very good team here. Their speed was able to befuddle Buckeye a little bit there. And I think those were some – and also some instances where Buckeye was able to try to punch the ball in and unfortunately couldn't. They just took advantage of that. Now, it's going to be a little bit of a tougher task here against a much more sound Leesville team. But, you know, as long as you got Ford, that's going to be helpful there. But also Trail Broom has come to his own as a quarterback. And I think their passing game can be also a help just in case that their running game is not able to. So it should be a pretty good one here also for Leesville as well.
Lamar Gafford from SinlawPreps.com breaking down Central Louisiana's playoff matchups. Lamar, as always, we appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Enjoy your week off from school, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving to y'all, too. Have a good one, everybody.
From Central Louisiana, we move to Northeast Louisiana, the Monroe region. Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joins us. And, Gene, let's start with Division I non-select. We ran into each other in Mandeville the other night. West Monroe with an outstanding performance, getting the victory in that game. They get number 4 Central. Before we talk about the game, I want to discuss something I saw on social media earlier this morning. I don't remember if you posted it or if it was somebody else, but the thumbs down that West Monroe displayed on Friday night. Normally, when you talk to athletes or football players, you want to hear thumbs up. You want to hear positivity. But the thumbs down is West Monroe's way of showing positivity and showing that they're going to beat all the top dogs in Division I to get to the Superdome.
Well, I don't know if that's 100% what it means. My friend Patty Fermi kind of got that going when they started working on it last Thursday. One of the former players actually spoke to the team, and it's more of a don't quit, we're not stopping mentality in a reverse kind of way. But, you know, I don't think they're taking shots at higher seeds that they beat because they've used it to rally around it. But, man, they played a great football game the other night, you saw, and I thought they did it defensively. That's what won the football game for them. They had that 250 yards rushing. But I think they, after giving up that touchdown early in the first quarter to Mandeville, they shut those guys down. They abandoned that running game late in the first quarter and tried to go to the pass. And I thought their pressure defensively was a difference.
And the defense certainly made the difference in that game. Now they go and play number 4 Central. This is another game where West Monroe's defense is going to have to shine. But let's not take anything away from West Monroe's offense. The Rebels played a fantastic game Friday night, and they look to do it again this Friday.
Yeah, they did. But, we've talked about this week in and week out. You know, the Rebels go as their quarterback play goes, and he's got to find a way to be consistent and do some things differently, and I think they will against Central. In fact, I know they're going to have to do things differently to play with the Wildcats. They had a great ball game. They beat West Ouachita 45-20, as you know. That quarterback they had, what is it, Jackson Furman, I think he threw for almost 180 yards and a touchdown, rushed for 2 more. So, you know, he's a good quarterback, there's no question. But West Monroe, man, they're tight in the box defensively, as you saw. And I think that's what kind of game they're going to have come Friday night.
Meanwhile, number 1 seed Neville plays number 24, Chalmette, number 3 Ruston, getting number 6 Southside. Southside coached by a man that folks in Northeast Louisiana are familiar with, Jess Curtis, formerly at Manning.
Yeah, Jess has done some great things. And, you know, was at Natchitoches Central for just a short period of time until things kind of worked out where he ended up down in South Louisiana. They run a unique offense. And I know Ruston matches up well with them. That's going to be a great football game. Jordan Hayes, you know, they're great running back, had 158 yards the other night, had 3 touchdowns on just 17 carries. They're a good football team. And you know that Josh Brantley, that quarterback, had a couple, I think 200-something yards and a couple of touchdowns through the air as they beat Zachary, which was a bit of a surprise to see the Broncos bow out in just the second round. But, hey, those were 2 good football teams. You just hate that they met so early. But great football game coming up with Southside and the Bearcats.
Yes, indeed. And the winner of that game will get the winner of Destrehan and Airline. We should also note the winner of Central West Monroe gets the winner of Chalmette and Neville. Moving down to the smaller schools.
That's right.
And this is where North Louisiana shines, is when you get below Division II. Once you get into Division III, you have some of the bigger games of the week. You have Union Parish at Kinder, Sterlington at Oak Grove, Gina hosting Lorville. The list goes on and on. Ouachita Christian, Covenant Christian in Division 4 select. And then you get down to non-select in D4. Welsh at Hainesville, General Trass at Generet. These are some big-time matchups that if you're a football fan in Louisiana, you love to see, not just because of how well these offenses run, but because of the play in the trenches.
Yeah, no question, Ian. I think if you included all the teams in Northeast Louisiana that we cover week in and week out, they were 12-4 this past Friday night. So a lot of teams advanced, and it's going to make for a great quarterfinal turkey week. Hey, let me throw out a quick point, too, about Neville, because you made that point when they beat Covington. Mm-hmm. Man, their young quarterback, that sophomore, he was 14-for-14 the other night for .56 and 3 scores. So they're going to be a formidable challenge for Chalmette, who's a 24 seed, and I know they haven't been up, if ever, to Bill Ruppel Stadium, so that one's going to be a lot of fun. But you're right, you go back and you start talking about Sterlington, those guys all year long, that's all they do is run that veer, and they run it well. They had 329 yards rushing the other night as they bombed the Lakeside. Union Parish had a great night there. Running back Tariq Wilson had 120-something yards. They won 42-8. We're going to keep – and look, you don't count out Mangum. They beat West St. John, who you're very familiar with, in a good football program, 44-6. That Kobe Casey was over 120-something yards and a couple of scores, ran for a 99-yarder. But they'll be challenged when they go down to number 2 South Plaquemine this week. But, man, they got a lot of good football teams, a lot of teams that we're used to seeing in the playoffs year in and year out. And of the 12 we have remaining, I'd be shocked that we don't put 4 or 5 back in the Superdome in 3 weeks.
And I was about to say that. You look at some of these teams that are still alive. I look at Union Parish in particular. This is a team that last year won a state title. These guys are huge on both the defensive and the offensive lines. I forget who I was talking to earlier. It may have been with Lamar a little while ago, where I mentioned that these guys are minimum 6'6", some of them 300-plus pounds. You don't see high school football players this size. And for teams like Kinder, for teams like a St. James, should they match up in the next round, they're not used to seeing that kind of size.
No, they don't, Ian. And look, that's exactly what they're going to get out of Joe Spadafore with Union Parish. They're a ground and pound football team. And Kinder, I know, is a four seed. I think at this point in time, I'm not sure I buy in a lot of the numbers as you go, because, I mean, look at West Monroe. They were 21 and they just knocked off a five. So, you know, you go play football, and at the end of the day, it's who does everything the best. And, you know, if you can control the ball game on the ground, like Union Parish and Sterlington and Gina, they ran 50 times for 370 yards the other night. I mean, those are teams that just dominate the time of possession. And, man, that's what wins football games at the end of the day, or at least in my opinion.
Of all the games involving North Louisiana teams, Northeast Louisiana teams, which one do you think is going to be the biggest game to watch, the game of the week, if you will?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, too. I think Ruston and Southside has a chance to be close, to be honest with you, because Jeff Curtis runs a little bit of a different offense, something most teams don't see in that option that they run. But look, we're going to keep an eye real close on Franklin Parish, because they're in territory they've never been before in the quarterfinals. General Trask is another team. They beat a five seed in North Iberville this past week and beat them bad, like 38-6. So they go down to number four, Generette, where I think things will even out a little bit. But, you know, we got a lot of great football games. That West Monroe Central game, I think, has a chance of matching up pretty good, even though that's a 23-4. You know, the Rebels are just playing good defense right now, and that's going to keep them in a lot of ball games.
Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joining us to break down Northeast Louisiana in the quarterfinals. Gene, as always, we appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving, and a pleasure seeing you last Friday night. We'll see you again in the Superdome, my friend.
Absolutely, my friend. Appreciate the time.
And we head west down I-20 to the Shreveport area. Tim Fletcher from KWKH 1130 The Tiger joining us. Tim, let's start with the big schools, Division I Select, Byrd at Alexandria. Two teams that know each other relatively well, even though they're in different districts. Alexandria undefeated, Byrd, they can score at will. This one, let's set the over-under at about 101. Are you going over or under that?
Oh, I'll take the under on this one. I'll take the under, because here's what I'm thinking, Ian. And by the way, happy Thanksgiving to you, buddy.
Same to you, sir.
Thank you. Byrd is coming off a really nice defensive game last week against St. Paul. They went down south and, you know, held them to 15 points. Got Desmond Simmons back, their fullback, which is a big part of the Byrd offense, is whatever the fullback does, because that's literally option A, if you think about it, in the kind of the wing T variation that Byrd uses. The first thing that Harrison Ayers, the quarterback, does is stick the ball in the belly of his fullback, and then that's the first read. And Desmond Simmons has been a very, very consistent running back. He's had a little bit of a small injury problem, but he's been back with a full force these last 3 weeks. I guess it's been 3 weeks. He's easily, 110, 125 yard per game kind of guy. And he's back nice and healthy. They are fully healthy, but they're taking on an Ash team coached by Thomas Bachman, one of Evangel's greatest wide receivers of all time. And what he has done at Ash is pretty phenomenal. But they've got the kid at running back, you know, that's the LSU commit. And Stacy Ballou, the Byrd coach, was on with us today, and he said that, the backup is nearly as good as that kid. And so it's going to have to be one of those things where Byrd has forced turnovers. They got two picks and two fumbles against St. Paul's last week. They're going to need to do the same thing. They've got to create more offensive opportunities against Ash to have any chance. If Ash does what they've been doing, I mean, think about the teams that you've had to beat in that district to remain undefeated right off the top. It's West Monroe, Neville, and Ruston, who all three are still in the state playoffs, you know, and Ash beat them all. So it's going to be a tough one for Byrd. So I think that if we see Byrd playing the week after this, that would be a little bit of a surprise, and it would be great for Byrd. But I think this feels like Alexandria senior high season to go all the way.
In Division II non-select, North DeSoto hosting Cecilia. The Bulldogs of Cecilia beating the Bulldogs of Lutcher last week. Cecilia scoring 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to win that game. North DeSoto, They are a team that last year lost to Opelousas, who, should North DeSoto and Opelousas both win this week, they'd meet in the semifinals again next week. So who do you have in this one, Cecilia, or does North DeSoto go ahead and make the run to the semifinals?
Well, this is one of those things, Ian, where you look at the records and go, oh, well, Cecilia went down and beat Lutcher, who was a two seed. They got five losses. Well, this should be a cakewalk for North DeSoto. And then, of course, all you have to do is talk to Dennis Dunn, the head coach of North DeSoto, and he'll quickly set you straight that, hey, don't forget, there's a reason why Cecilia's playing. They beat Lutcher at Lutcher, and they are a loaded team. He said they're like watching basketball on grass. He said athletes everywhere, a quarterback who is outstanding. He goes, this is the best quarterback we've faced since we took on Center Texas back in week two. The good news for North DeSoto is they're at home, thanks to the upset. You know, they were going to have to go down to Lutcher, but because, you know, Cecilia was a higher-seeded team, North DeSoto gets to be at home. They do literally have a very good home field advantage in Stonewall, where North DeSoto is, hails from. And Cole Corey is fully back. He is their stud wide receiver who has missed 9 weeks of the regular season with a knee injury. He is back, and last week, I think he had six or seven catches for a little over 110 yards. And a couple of touchdowns. Kenny Thomas at running back is a verifiable stud. And then they've got a kid in Luke Delafield at quarterback who just really doesn't make a lot of mistakes. North DeSoto, I feel like, should win this game, but I have a feeling it's also going to be one of those white knuckle all the way to the very end kind of a game for North DeSoto.
Moving to Division III Select, Calvary Baptist, they're the three seed hosting Episcopal of Baton Rouge. Calvary Baptist is another one of these teams where you look at the matchup and say, okay, Calvary Baptist should win this one, but Episcopal is just as good as advertised. They took Dunham to the wire earlier this year, and Episcopal now going to have to play Calvary Baptist on their home turf if they want a chance to advance to the semifinal.
The thing that Calvary does this year better than maybe even their state championship year last year, Ian, is they are so good up front. They are so good on the offensive and defensive line. They are bigger. They are stronger than they have been. Rodney Ewan told us today on the show that this is his best line of scrimmage team that he's ever had at Calvary. He's been there for 5 years, I guess, since the COVID year. He goes, this is my best one. They won two state championships since he's been down there, and he's saying this is their best team up front that they've had. And you throw in the fact that back there is James Simon at running back, a Texas commit. Abram Wardell is as fine a quarterback as you'll find in the state. Julius Thomas is one of the better receivers. Colby Thomas is one of the better guys you'll find. He's a Louisiana Tech commit. Julius Moss is from the Tony Moss line of DNA, former LSU standout. That's his grandson. That is an outstanding talent. Again, I get it. It's a really evenly matched squad. I like Calvary at home. I like the fact they've got the state championship DNA coursing through their veins. This senior class doesn't want to be the senior class that doesn't get it done. I like Calvary to advance in this game as well.
And last but not least, Logansport, the number 6 seed in Division 4 non-select, playing a scrappy Franklin squad, number 19 team, that has turned some heads by pulling off upsets in the first two rounds of the playoffs. Can Logansport end the Franklin run here? Does Franklin surprise us and take out a Logansport team that's been impressive, not just this year, but the last couple years?
Well, it gets down to this, Ian. You know, we've got Logansport, Haynesville, and Airline still alive as well. And Logansport is playing lights-out football. They've been there and done that. State quarterfinals, semifinals, seemingly every year. I don't think I'm showing bias, but I just think they're a really good football team. I think Logansport's going to win that game, but I think the state champion in non-select Division IV is going to be coming from a little north of there, and that's in Claiborne Parish. Haynesville, I feel, Ian, this is the best Haynesville team that I think we've had since the year they went to the state championship and got beaten by Logansport in that crazy game where Logansport trailed by like 3 touchdowns or whatever in the fourth quarter and came back to win in the final moment. This is a really good Haynesville team, and they haven't been challenged by anybody all year long. And, I mean, nobody. Homer played them to within two scores, and outside of that, the closest game I think they've had has been 23 points, and then after that, the closest anyone's been is right around 30 or 35 points to Hainesville this entire season. So I think Logan Sports got a good chance. I really like Hainesville's chances. And then, of course, in the non-select Division One, we still have the old Airline Vikings out there as a number two CD. And we're going to see what the greatest show on turf, the high school version, can do. Until they get beat, you know, I'm riding or dying with Airline right now. I think that Ben Taylor is one of the more unheralded quarterbacks in the state. He's a Northwestern State commit, and I just am puzzled why there is not more of a recruiting rush on that kid. If you see the film on him, Ian, he places the ball so well. He puts his receivers in such a good spot, and that includes LSU commit Kenny Darby, the junior at Airline, who's a four-star receiver who's in the 2026. He puts them in position. He throws them open. He puts them in position where they catch it, they can run with it. So I like Airline in non-select Division One. I love Hainesville in non-select Division Four. I like Logan Sport in non-select Division Four. I feel pretty good about North DeSoto. I think Bird's going to need a monumental effort, but I think Ash is going to win that game. Is that it? Is that the only ones we talked about?
I think we did, and I'm glad
Calvary.
And Calvary Baptist,
I like
yes.
Calvary. I think Calvary's going to be right there. Of course, if they win, there's also the a little date with Isidore Newman coming next week. That would be down in New Orleans if the seedings hold up. And that would be a whopper of a game. So should be a lot of fun.
It certainly would be, and my apologies to the folks on Highway 79 in Hainesville for leaving you out of the discussion. They play Welsh this week, a team that had a bye last week because of how things worked out with that Faraday and Lake Arthur game. So Welsh moved on. They get to the quarterfinals with a bye. Do you think that's going to impact the game at all, or even with the extra rest?
I think it's going to help Welsh because they've had two full weeks to prepare for Hainesville, and that's They're not idiots. They weren't preparing to face, I forgot who it was at Hainesville, beat last week 61-0. But here's the deal. If you don't think this means something to Hainesville, we had David Franklin on the show today, head coach. And our buddy John Ware, who's coaching at Lakeside, they were eliminated last week, but John is a Hainesville grad. And David said, all you have to do in Hainesville is just bring up Welsh, and they remember 1992 vividly. Because the senior class of Hainesville in 1992 didn't lose a game of 7th graders, 8th graders, 9th graders, 10th graders, 11th graders. And in their 12th grade year, Welsh came up to Hainesville and upset the undefeated Hainesville Golden Tornado in the semis or quarterfinals. And he said, that has stuck in our craw since 1992. That has bothered us. And I forget the name of the coach from Welsh back then. Dub Gossett, that was the coach of Welsh, because he was such a good guy. And, of course, David Franklin's dad, Red Franklin, was the head coach for Hainesville for 15 of their 17 state championships. And David's got two, I believe. But Red and the coach from Welsh were buddies, and he said that it was so much so that when Welsh would get put out of the playoffs after that, said their coach would come up here and would – come to our games in the semifinals or whatever, and would visit with my dad, and he goes, there were Hainesville people who would give him the skunk eye because he was the guy that put us out in 1992. And he said, so if you don't think this game means something to the community of Hainesville, that they're playing Welsh, think again. They're carrying a 32-year-old grudge against Welsh. So that should be fun.
Dutton Wahlback then was the head coach, a two-time LSWA coach of the year. He won it that year in 92. Welsh went on to the Superdome where they were runner-up that particular year. But you're right, that 32-year grudge still holding strong in Hainesville. And lastly, we asked you for an over-under to start the segment. We'll ask you for one to close it. Destrehan Airline, let's set it at 72.5. Over-under.
The over. Are you talking about each team?
Total combined.
I'll take the over. As a matter of fact, Ian, all right, let's see here. What can I do here? I tell you what, we got some We've got some great food up here. We've got some great beverages, Great Raft Brewing, Seven Tap Brewing, Red River Brewing, Flying Heart. We got some good local breweries. I don't know if you're a beer fan. I like beer. If you look at my guts, you can tell that, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
If this game is under 115 points, I will send you a six-pack of your you name. If you're an ale, if you're an IPA, if you're a Hefeweizen, if you're a wheat ale, if you're a pale ale, doesn't matter, Pilsner, I will send you a six-pack of a very tasty beverage your way if this thing goes under 115 points.
I will take you up on that. You got yourself a deal.
All right.
He is Tim.
That sounds good to me, buddy.
He is Tim Fletcher from KWKH 1130, The Tiger. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good to me, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and this is fun. I hope we're having more teams involved next week in the semis.
Amen, brother. And with that, we'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. After this, we'll go to Baton Rouge and the River Parishes. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview Quarterfinals Edition. Let's go to the Baton Rouge area. Robin Fambro from The Advocate joins us. And Robin, let's start with Division I Select. Catholic High, Rummel. These are two teams that met last year in the semifinals. Catholic High got a close victory en route to winning the state championship. Another great matchup set for this week. What do you expect from these two teams?
Well, more of the same. They know each other well. They played a couple of years in a row, and, you know, the history goes back longer than that. I wrote about it the other day. They played in a championship game at Tulane, and that I covered, that Rummel actually won. It was just a really, really hard-hitting game, and, you know, there's no reason to think that this won't be more of the same.
Meanwhile, Southern Lab and Kentwood, two other teams that have history and have a rivalry against each other, I'd expect this one to be nothing less than a barn burner.
That's what it always is, with a few rare exceptions. And, I mean, this time it's in Kentwood. They're district rivals. They've been longtime district rivals. And just for a couple of years, there were a couple of departures. I think maybe the classification cycle before last, they went up to 2A briefly. Kentwood did, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot of familiarity there. Southern Lab obviously won when they played the district game in, I believe it was week 8 or week 9. So, you know, they know what they're going to get with each other, and that makes it very interesting, and games under the tank in Kentwood are always fun to see.
In Division III Select, number one seed Dunham will be hosting Lafayette Christian Academy. LCA, the nine seed, but they seem to be peaking at the right time. For Dunham, though, a team that's seemingly unstoppable, what do they have to do to make sure they're not LCA's next victim?
They just have to execute and do the things they normally do. I think the misnomer about Dunham this year has been that it's only the Elijah Havens show. And, yeah, there's a lot that goes with that. He's obviously top prospect for 2027, top quarterback prospect. He's all of those things. And he's a great basketball player, too, by the way. But the team around him is also impressive. There may have been questions, say, well, how tough will they be on defense? How will they do with this? How will they do with that? And they've answered. They've had an answer for everything so far. So it'll be interesting. This could be, in many ways, the toughest matchup they've had. You realize LCA last year was playing on the 4A level.
Correct.
Now, I know they graduated some guys, some very key guys. But again, like you said, they played a tough schedule, and it looks like they're peaking at the right time. So it's got a lot of possibilities.
And for Dunham, you mentioned that it's a team effort, not just the Elijah Havens show. And one area I was truly impressed by is how good their offensive line is. Haven is able to run as well as he is because his line allows him those opportunities to do it.
But he doesn't run that much. They have other running backs who do things. He distributes the ball. He gets the ball out quickly. I think the unsung hero there is the defense. And defense is going to get a stiff test this week. Possibly from LCA. It's going to be a different look, a different type of team, perhaps, than they've seen so far. There may be some similarities, but going into it, you just weren't sure. And you're also in a situation where Dunham relies on a lot of guys who play both ways.
Meanwhile,
several guys.
Meanwhile, Episcopal going to the north. They're playing Calvary Baptist. Episcopal the 6th seed, Calvary the number 3 seed. For Episcopal to get a win here, what do they have to do?
Ball control. And it is what they do. They love to run the football. They have to be able to make stops on that very dynamic offense that Calvary has. That's going to be a huge, huge challenge. The question, they can alleviate some of those issues, though, if they can do what they do. They are very ground-oriented. They've got Reed Chauvin as a leading rusher, and they've got some other guys who can also carry the rock a little bit. Just what can they do to help their defense?
Meanwhile, in Division II non-select, Plaquemine, the number 6 seed, hosting the defending state champion in that division, number 14, Opelousas. For the second year in a row, Opelousas, a double-digit seed. They've won their first two matchups, I wouldn't say convincingly, but they've done a good enough job to get the victory. Now they play a Plaquemine squad that may be their most formidable test this season. What do you expect in this one?
I think it's a great test for both teams. And you've got probably two of the best running backs that, I don't know, maybe people don't know as much about him, but Deshaun Ford from Opelousas has his share of Power 5 offers. And then you've got Tyrese Mosby of Plaquemine, who has over 2,000 yards rushing. Now, the thing to note about Plaquemine is, in some years past, when you're going back into their, and I call it a rich history because they had a string of quarterfinal berths, a semifinal berth, sandwiched in a few years ago, not that long ago. They were so run heavy. Well, their quarterback, Nico Victorian, has over 1,800 yards passing. So there's a little more of a balance there than you think. And I'm going to be curious to see how both teams react to each other. I just think this could be a very, very dynamic matchup.
In Division II Select, the Sid Edwards Tour continues. Number 13, Estruma, takes on Madison Prep, the number 5 seed at Olympia Stadium. This is a game that I'm not exactly sure how to handicap this one, Robin. What do you see here?
Well, it's the battle of the 70805. They're from the same zip code in Baton Rouge. They're not located that far apart. You know, it's one of those deals where I got an email from a guy who's upset that they're playing where they are at Olympia, which is across town. But Catholic High actually plays more home games at Memorial. They need to because of the size of the stadium. I think it's a good fit to put those two at Olympia. It's interesting because they occupy kind of the same space, but their trajectory has been different for a while. They've been in different classifications and doing different things. And 4 years ago, Madison Prep won a state title. 4 years ago, Estruma was just starting back up its program when they reopened its school, reopened the school after it being closed for a period of years. So there have been some changes there. Sid Edwards comes in. He has less than 40 players on the roster. He has some dynamic playmakers, including Kyrie Paul, the running back, who's committed to Southeastern. And on the flip side, you've got the same thing with Madison Prep, where you have Alfred McKnight, a running back, who's close to 2,000 yards. Kylan Johnson, the quarterback, is over 2,000 yards passing, and they have Keon Robinson, a receiver, who is over 1,000 yards receiving. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the Estruma defense. And, it's going to be interesting just to see how these teams handle each other, especially initially in the first quarter, because they don't really have any common ground. They play in different classes and different districts. So there's really no history there other than the fact that they're located close to each other.
Moving on to Division One non-select, Central, the number 4 seed, hosting number 21, West Monroe. West Monroe with a gritty victory at Mandeville last Friday night. Now they take on a tough Central squad. West Monroe is better than that 21 seed indicates. So for Central, what are the keys to victory for them?
They have to do the things they've done all year. They have to be consistent on offense. They have a dynamic playmaker on defense and defensive end, DK Mays. His brother KD is a linebacker. They've got Steven Rennell in the secondary. It's going to be interesting to see just how the defenses on both sides handle this. And, it's, again, Central's had that thing before. They played Neville last year and won up in North Louisiana. They were a low seed that wound up making it to the quarterfinals last year and nearly made it to the semifinals. It came down to the last play with them and Dunham. A lot of guys from that team are back. And West Monroe, they know the challenges that West Monroe presents. David Seminole was the coach at Catholic when they played West Monroe a couple of years ago. So, but this is a different West Monroe team. It's I think they are playing very well right now. It's going to be interesting to see how that trajectory continues this week. I think it's great. I think it's a great matchup for both of them.
And lastly, in D4 Select, Ascension Catholic hosting Riverside Academy this week. Ascension Catholic, they're as good as advertised. Riverside, they have a lot of weapons as well. This is an even matchup, I think. For Ascension Catholic, what do they have to do to stop the Riverside machine?
Keep their machine rolling. I mean, this is Dedrick Lasty and Chad Elsey Jr., to what you would call undersized running backs that are very, very good and very, very talented. We saw Lasty last year in the Superdome. Elsey is every bit as talented as any running back they've had. Matter of fact, in 3 years, he now has 99 touchdowns that he scored. And it's really incredible what he's done. They have played at a high level. The secret, however, and it's going to be interesting to see how the matchup goes, is how well Ascension Catholic's defense has been playing. You know how I talked about that with Dunham? It's kind of the same thing with Ascension Catholic. They have a defensive line that's played extremely well and limited opponents, and they played a few. They played Episcopal. They played Dunham. Their one loss was to Dunham. And they played some teams from upper classes, and you know, this. I had somebody tell me this summer after they named Lowell Narcisse the head coach that they really liked the move, and you know, this might be what pushes them to go to the Superdome. So we'll see.
Robin Fambro from The Advocate joining us to go over the Baton Rouge matchups in the quarterfinals of the LHSAA football playoffs. Robin, as always, thank you so much. We appreciate the time, and have a happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
You too.
From the Baton Rouge region, we move on to the River Parishes and Bayou area. Troy LaBeouf joins us. And, Troy, this is another big week for the Bayou region. You guys well represented in the quarterfinals. Biggest game may be Edie White versus Vanderbilt Catholic, district rivals. These are two teams that played a close game just 3 weeks ago. And this will be another huge matchup for two regional rivalries, the fan bases. Let me not say they don't like each other. I'm sure they do, except when these two teams play.
No, I would agree with that. Good to be with you on this Thanksgiving week. They probably don't like each other this week, you know. And again, not in a malicious way, but this is a rivalry. This is a couple of schools that are separated by about 15 miles, depending on which way the crow flies. And these kids know each other. They've come up playing against each other in the little leagues, the junior high leagues, travel baseball, you name it, AAU basketball. They know each other. You know, they joke that this is the holy war of high school football in Louisiana. You know, you talk about BYU and Utah and all, and the college game. But this is a I don't like using the term war, but this is a battle between two very good football teams that are well coached. You know, Vanderbilt Catholic made a coaching change. They went get assistant coach from Nichols, Coach Brian Wallace, who's done a really good job. He's a wide receivers coach. He recruited the area, so a lot of the area coaches know him. And over on the other side, Coach Lesang and Edie White, he's back for his second tour, kind of took a couple of years off to refresh, and he's come back, and all he's done is lead Edie White deep every year. You could pretty much mark these guys, Edie White, practicing at Thanksgiving just about every year, because this is the mark of a good football team if you can practice during Thanksgiving time. That first game, as you mentioned, was a 21-14 win by the Cardinals in week 10. That was in Houma at Vanderbilt Stadium. This one's going to be a Cardinal Stadium. To me, this is huge. This is big, in my opinion. The atmosphere is going to be slanted a little bit toward Edie White. It should be. I'm assuming everybody from Thibodeau will be there on Black Friday after eating on Thursday, and they'll be ready to watch some good football. I think the Cardinals are a little bit better in the trenches in, and I do think special teams, I think Edie White's got a little bit of an advantage there. That kicker is really good. I've talked about him before. He's good from 50. So give me E.D. White in what looks to be a great football game, but E.D. White's going to have to stop a nice offense on the other side in Vanderbilt. This is going to be a really good football game for a quarterfinal matchup.
Destrehan, a Division I non-select, has to go all the way to Shreveport to play number two Airline. We know what Airline can do. They can hang 50, 60, 70 points on teams at will. But for Destrehan, this is a team that is starting to peak at the right time. They started slow, and then towards week six, week seven, we started to see them get a little better and better. And now they're one of the more dominant forces in terms of the teams from the New Orleans metro and along the river. So what kind of chances do you give Destrehan against this prolific Airline offense?
I give them a really good chance. You know, you talked about week six where things kind of started changing. You had more guys on the practice field than the training room in week six because they had a lot of injured players. They got a lot of those guys back. Coach Marcus Scott had, they would just continue to chop wood every week, and they didn't make any excuses. You didn't hear him talk about it. We talked about it. The media talked about it, but nobody from that coaching staff talked about any excuses of why they didn't win a few games that they normally would win. But now they're rolling at full cylinders. I mean, who wants to play Destrehan at number 10? They're a double-digit seed that I think can make it to the Superdome. All they did was go to a really good Northwood Shreveport team and put 63 on them and gave up 21. So the travel thing, you know, a lot of times you talk about a team having to travel far distances. They just did it. They just need to rinse and repeat of what they did last week. Now, look, they play a really good team. You mentioned Airline with the prolific passing. Their quarterback is ranked maybe number two or three in the state behind some really good throwers from Evangel back in the day, Brock Berlin being one of them. But Ben Young, I think, is his name. He can really sling the football. But, again, they're not going to make the trip. They know the process. The trip's not going to be a big deal to them. I think they go win. I think they beat the number two seed. I think it's going to be a good game. But this is going to be a huge test for the Wildcats, and I think they're going to get a passing grade on this test.
Ben Taylor, by the way, that Airline quarterback, 11,995 yards, career all-time through last week. That puts him number two behind Brock Berlin. Still has a little less than 2,000 yards to go before he can catch the 1999 Evangel grad and later a Miami quarterback in Brock Berlin. Let's take a look at Division II non-select quickly. And there are no games there in the River Parishes this week because Lutcher got knocked out by Cecilia. What happened there? Lutcher looked like they were holding tight and then just kind of fell apart at the end.
Yeah, I watched the replay of it. Coach Jenkins and his staff, very disappointed. They rushed the ball. Trent Chaney and his son Zach Jenkins, Zach ran for about 170 yards. They just couldn't get stops on third down on defense. Take this stat. Cecilia was 16 out of 18 on third down. They converted 16 of 18 chances on third down. And I watched it, and Diesel Solari looked healthy. He's a left-handed quarterback. He throws it to Kale. He's got Brent Gordon. He's got some tall receivers. Kale's a UL Lafayette commitment. So he's got some 6'2", 6'3 receivers that really took advantage of the defensive backs for Lutcher. But you don't just blame defensive backs. They just couldn't get a good enough pass rush. I thought the offensive line for Cecilia did a fantastic job. Disappointing draw for Lutcher that early in the playoffs in a second-round game. That, to me, that's more like a semifinal type game, but watch out for Cecilia. I'm sure you'll talk about it with your Lafayette correspondent. They are poised to make it back to the Superdome.
St. James beat Donaldsonville last week relatively easily there. They play a Pine team that will probably give them more headaches. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, Pine's a good football team. I was a little surprised that Pine was able to win the game. I really thought Kaplan would take care of business there. I think, and I don't know this to be a fact, I got a pretty good hunch. I think St. James probably thought Kaplan was going to be the team that was going to win. If you look at this Pine football team, they have four shutouts on the season. They are very good defensively, and they're going to have to be good. Jawan Jackson, the freshman quarterback for St. James, had a phenomenal season for only being a ninth grader. He, again, threw well against Donaldsonville, but right now I think St. James' defense is playing well. So this is going to be a game between two really good defenses. I'm looking at one particular score in Pine's schedule, Franklinton, who we know is a outstanding football team. Pine lost this game 29-28. I think Pine's going to give St. James everything they want. Advantage St. James, they're at home. It's going to be loud. The horns are going to be blowing. The trains are going to be rolling. St. James, I think, and I don't have the fullest confidence, but I do think if you're asking me for a pick, I think St. James advances. And what does that set up? Most likely, if Union Parish takes care of their business, a rematch of the state championship game in the semifinals at St. James Stadium. Man, this is going to be epic if these two teams can win and play in the semifinals.
And lastly, Covenant Christian hosting Ouachita Christian. Ouachita Christian is a proven commodity in the Monroe area. Covenant Christian, though, unless you are in the river parishes, the Bayou region, you're not exactly familiar with them. With that in mind, is this Covenant's coming out party?
I tell you, man, they made a believer out of me. You know, they're 11-0, and a lot of people are saying they played a soft schedule, but they beat some good football teams during the way. It's hard to beat the same team twice in the season. They did that to Central Catholic. They not only did it, they dominated the football game in the second half, which was a fairly close game in the first half. Now, you're dealing with a completely different deal here in Ouachita Christian, who comes in, you know, as a high-seeded team because of the schedule they played. They just about dismantled everybody on their schedule other than Oak Grove, who kind of took them out to the woodshed in week 10. And Coach Fitzhugh, who I know at Ouachita, he wanted to win the game, but it probably gave his team a sense of, hey, we can be beat if we don't bring our top game. We didn't have to bring our top game during the regular season because we just ran all over everybody. But look, Covenant, I believe in this football team. They're going to be at home. They play their games at Nichols Stadium. They really do a really good job of making a nice atmosphere. I watched some YouTube videos of their game against Central Catholic. They make it feel like a home field advantage. They have a really good athlete in Jaden Carter that they get the football to. Owen Trosker, who is a converted lineman, is playing quarterback. He's playing as good as anybody right now. But this is going to be a test. I do think this one goes to the fourth quarter. Ouachita, they know how to win. They've been in this situation. They did the long trip last week. They're going to do another long trip this week. I think the Eagles find a way, but I think it's going to be a really good one. It would not shock me if Covenant won this game, but it's hard for me to pick against Ouachita Christian.
He is Troy LaBeouf, our River Parish and Bayou area correspondent. Troy, as always, we appreciate the time. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. We'll talk to you next week for the semis.
Happy Thanksgiving. I look forward to talking to you, Ian.
And we'll pause for a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the quarterfinal edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. A quick programming note. The All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Preview will be on this Friday night from 7 o'clock till 10:30 on both WWL AM 870 and WWL FM 105.3. Alan Waddell and I will be live from Isidore Newman as the Greenies host the Panthers of Catholic High of New Iberia. Again, that's Friday night from 7 o'clock to 10:30 on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. That does it for this week's edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Special thanks to all of our correspondents, Kevin Foote, Coach Lou Valden, Lamar Gaffert, Gene Ponte, Chasten Tavares, Troy LaBeouf, Robin Fambro, and Tim Fletcher. I'm Ian Ozan. Thanks for listening to the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Happy Thanksgiving.